Welcome to Divine Healers Church, New Jersey Branch. We hope that you will be blessed by the following sermon. Stay tuned and God bless.
Oh, Yael Abaiku! Yael Abaiku! Man, darbaita ila jatu! Yael Abaiku, matasu andi! Jai kipiri aita barnata kinyandi! Itu Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Yes, Lord, here we are. Visit us today, Lord. And show us your grace. Show us your mercy. Let us feel who you are. And let us know that you have an abundance. Lord, you said we should come and you will bless us. We obeyed and we have come. We came empty, Lord. Lord, as with a blessing. Lord, we came terrified. Let us go with victory and strength. We know in you lies all things. So make everything wonderful. My God, make everything wonderful. Because, Lord, you have all the power. You have all. So, Lord, let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. And let your will be done. Let your children see you as you are. And they will praise you as you are. We thank you, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. God is good. And all the time. Today is not actually the teaching. Today is the day that we're going to find out whether we actually have Jesus Christ in us. How do you know that you said you are a Christian all these years? You said you have confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus. And you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead. You start to trust in the Lord for so many years. You pray in tongues. You sing praises. You play band. You play the organ. You are a leader. You are a church leader. You have been going to church all along. How do you know that you got Jesus Christ in you? And if you don't, that's the first answer. Then you're going to find out how you can have Jesus Christ in you. But if you say you have Jesus Christ in you, how can you make the Jesus Christ in you effective? Praise God. Hallelujah. Because for so long, when a will has been given to you, for God so loved the world that he gave you his only begotten son. God gave you his only begotten son. For you to achieve. And if something is given to you and you don't have a use for it, or you haven't been using it, what has been given to you will be rendered useless. So if God has given you Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ has said, in my name, you should be victorious. In my name, when you drink even a poison, you shouldn't die. When Jesus Christ has said, in my name, no weapon formed against you should prosper. In my name, you shouldn't be a barren. In my name, you shouldn't be unemployed. Jesus Christ has said that. And he said, if you use my name, all your needs has to be met. Hallelujah. And our God never fails. He is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should repent. Whatever he has said, he backs it up. He is only the God who backs things up. And Elijah said, your God is sleeping. Wake him up. And they tried to wake him up. But they never, because he's not a God. But when Elijah cried, He said, Lord, let all nations know that you are the greatest. He answered by fire. Praise God. So our Lord answers by fire. But how long have you been using the name of the Lord? And you have been praying with the name of the Lord. And nothing has happened. Praise God. Don't you step back and find out why? Why me? Why can't I prosper? Why can't I be happy? What is going on with me? Why me alone? Praise God. Today we're going to find out. And the first question is, do you have Jesus Christ in you? Do you? Do you believe you have Jesus Christ in you? Hallelujah. And if you have Jesus Christ in you, how can you make the Jesus Christ in you effective? Because the disciples, they had Jesus Christ in the boat. And the wind and the ocean, the water was coming into the boat. Oh, but Jesus Christ was sleeping. He was sleeping. And they went to him, they said, "So, hello. Hello, my friend. Don't sleep. What do you mean you sleep? Your job is not to sleep. Your job is to save. Your job is not to sleep. Your job is to heal. Your job is not to sleep. Your job is to bless. Your job is not to sleep. Your job is to make me the mother of the house. Your job is not to sleep. Your job is to make me healthy. So wake up." Hallelujah. If they wouldn't have woken Jesus Christ up, what do you think would have happened? What do you think would have happened? Their boat would sink. The water will come into the boat and Jesus Christ would be the only one saved because death has no power over him. But the rest would have died. But they went and woke me up. They made the Jesus Christ in the boat effective. And Jesus Christ rose and said, "Fibotiti, peace be still." And everything was good. Today, we're going to find out. Because for so long, you've been coming to church. This church has been for more than 10 years. And you've been going to another church before you came here. And this is not the only church you come to. Hallelujah. You roam around in so many churches. That makes Jesus Christ in you effective. So we're going to study and find out. How can the Jesus Christ in me be effective? In the first place, do I have Jesus Christ in me? Do I have in him? Because he said, "Many shall call and I'll tell them I don't know you." Hallelujah. "Many shall call my name and I will tell them I don't know you. I don't know you from Adam. Oh, me a Santini, I don't know you. Me a Gun, I don't know you. Me a Fantini, I don't know you. Wherever your nationality is, I don't know you. I'm American, I don't know you." Hallelujah. "Don't you know my name, Father? I don't know you." So many shall call and I will say, "I don't know you." So do you have Jesus Christ in you? Because if you actually have Jesus Christ in you, and he knows you and you know him, you shouldn't be in this situation. Hallelujah. This situation shouldn't have happened. And most of the time, we don't study to find out why. Why we are in this situation. Hallelujah. And so, I'm going to turn over to my brother Joseph. And we're going to go down to find out whether actually we have Jesus Christ in us. And if we have Jesus Christ in us, if really you have Jesus Christ in you, Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. He didn't say you are saved. You see, when you read the Bible, it said, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, right? And the righteous run into it and they are saved. So, if you are not saved and you are having a problem, find out. Won't you find out whether you are righteous and whether you have run into the name, because he said only the righteous run into that name. He didn't say everybody. Not everybody runs into the name. Only the righteous run into the name. Only those who have Jesus Christ in them and they are making Jesus Christ in them effective, they will run into the name and they will be saved. Praise God. You see, my brother is famous for his and his story. He's going to break it down. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. God is good all the time. Amen. What all the young people to move on. So they are wanting to interact with you. Leave the children behind. All the rest move forward. Except those holding children. Those with our children. I'm waiting for you. All the ladies in the back. I'm waiting for you. Hallelujah. Move forward. No excuse. No exception. Hallelujah. God is good. All the time. And like I said, we're going to interact with all of you. So it's going to be questions and answers section. Hallelujah. To begin with, we had a lot from my brother. His Holy Spirit has moved him to say a lot. I want everyone to please be on your feet. Brother David, you come forward. Stand over here. Okay. We are going to start with elimination series. How many of you, as he said, how many of you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If you have, sit down. If you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, sit down. Have you confessed Jesus with your mouth and believed in your heart that God raised him from the dead? Have you all done so? How many of you have been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ? Or in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit? How many of you? I want everybody to please stand up again. Those that have been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to sit up. If you have not been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, stand up. Keep standing. Okay. All right. You are holding a child, so you are exempt. Okay. Those who have not been baptized in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, raise your hands. All right, Brother David, you now have it. Those who have not been baptized, next year, July, Independence Day, get yourself ready. We're going to baptize you. Those who have not been baptized. Hallelujah. All right, Brother David, you may be seated. God is good. And all the time. See, we begin with this question because the Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Because with the mouth, confession is made. And with the heart, you believe into salvation. Is it not what the Bible said? Hallelujah. So we all agree on that term, right? We are on the same page, right? All right, let's move on to the next phase. And Jesus, when he rose from the dead, the first thing he said to his disciples, the first thing he said to them when he appeared to them is that all power has been given unto me in both heaven and on earth. Am I right or wrong? Do we all agree on that? Okay. So let's continue to move forward. Now, when he gave them that great commission, he said, now, Mark 16, 17 and 18, he said, go and preach the gospel to all nations. This command was given to the disciples, his followers, right? Okay, now, he said, go and preach the gospel to all nations. Those who will believe, baptize them. Those who will not believe, they are already condemned. And this is a huge, huge promise that he gave them. These are the signs that will follow those who believe. Read Mark. Hallelujah. Is that microphone on?
Yes.
Okay, because I'm not hearing your voice.
Mark chapter 15, verse
18. Yes.
And these signs will accompany those who believe.
Hold on. I don't want you to read it. Take your time and read it because we are going step by step by step. The question that came is, if you are a Christian, how can Christ be effective in you? Or how can you be an effective Christian? So take your time and read it slowly. And I want all those who have the Bibles, let's read after her. And I want everybody to pay attention and listen carefully and closely. Go ahead. Hallelujah.
Mark chapter 16, verse 17. And these signs will accompany those who believe.
These signs will accompany those who believe. Are you a believer? Are you a believer? Okay. Bible says, these are the signs that will follow those who believe. Okay, continue, because I'll come back there.
By using my name, they will cast out demons.
Okay, by using my name, in other words, in my name, they shall cast out demons, right? Okay. Continue.
They will speak in new tongues.
They will speak what? Okay.
They will pick up snakes in their hands.
Serpents. Okay.
And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not hurt them.
In other words, when they drink poison or anything that will be dangerous or something that will render their blood poisonous to kill them, because of Christ's name, it shall have no effect on them. Okay?
They will lay their hands on the sick and they will
receive. They shall lay their hands on the sick. Sick people, when you lay your hands on the sick person, the person is supposed to be healed, right? Hallelujah. What is the name of this church? No. Go slowly. The Divine Healers Church. So in other words, when any sickness or any person with any sickness or disease comes in here and we lay hands on the person is supposed to be what? Amen. Okay. So we're getting there. We have to get to that phase. That is where we are heading. Not only sickness or sick people, but anybody in any situation, difficulty, hardship, challenges in our life, when we come here and we pray for one another, we're supposed to do what? See changes. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, in the lives of the disciples, let me upgrade them to apostles. When Jesus gave them this command, did these signs follow them? Did we read that in the Bible as these signs follow them? Okay. So, the question that I want to ask you is this. Was that promise only for them or belongs to us too? Are you sure? Does that belong to us? Okay. So, Are we effective in Christ as they were? That when they lay their hands on the sick, and there are numerous examples in the Bible, and I can give many examples, that the disciples or the apostles, when they lay hands on the sick, they were healed. When they commanded the unclean spirits obeyed them. Some other people tried to imitate them, and those people got a real good whipping from the devil. So we as Christians, and as we say we are believers, how can we be effective so that this promise will work also for us? That when we lay our hands on the sick, they should be healed. That when we call on the name of Jesus, something should happen. That when we mention his name, there should be some changes. That when we call and we say, Lord, just as Peter and John said to the people man at the beautiful gate, this is what I have. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And what happened? Is Peter not a man like you? Or me? Okay. Why is it that Peter could do that and we can do that? What is the difference? Have we asked ourselves this question? Okay, let me go to another. In Acts of the Apostles, in Philippi, Paul, he was preaching. Acts of the Apostles chapter 16, I believe. And this young woman that was possessed was following them every day and was saying, oh, these are the servants of the Most High, blah, 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 blah. Listen to him, listen to them, blah, 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 blah. And she did that for several days. And at one point, Paul turned and said, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. When Paul spoke, it was like he was speaking to the girl. But it was a double reference because he was not per se speaking to the girl, but he was speaking to that demon that has possessed that girl. And when Paul spoke, the demon listened and obeyed. Hallelujah. There are other examples. Paul, when they landed on the island of Acts 28, the shipwreck when they landed on that island, and the mayor of that island was sick. When he goes to the bathroom, it was blood and some other things that he was going through, and Paul prayed for him and he got healed. And when he was healed instantly, all the sick people on that island were brought to Paul. They lined them up. And Paul prayed for all of them. As of the Apostles chapter 20, it's right there. They all got healed. Okay. If the Lord can use the Apostle Paul to effect these miracles, are we the Pauls and the Peters and the Johns of today? Are we? So now, how can we be effective? That when we say something in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, something should happen. How do we do that and how do we get there? I want you to tell me. I don't need you to tell me. Hallelujah. Like I said, today we are reacting because we have to get to a certain level. That when we call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, something should happen. If something is not happening, then we have to ask why. So we are reacting right now. Tell me, how can we get it? Or how can we do it? I don't want you to sit down like. This is not preaching, and I'm not lecturing. We are all studying because this is important. And we want to get on a certain level before we get into the year 2014. Because 2014, we want it to be different from 2013, isn't it? Isn't it? We want something to happen in this church, isn't it? So tell me. Yes, Brother David. Hallelujah. Give him a microphone. Give him a microphone.
Yes, God.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, we can be like Paul and Peter if we follow their examples, because they were able to totally surrender their lives to Christ. They didn't have anything. I mean, they didn't seek their own interest, but they always saw the interest of the Lord. They put the interest of the Lord first. Everything that they did. Amen.
Amen. All right. Okay. I would accept that. I'm learning from you. He said, I have to follow the example. He's teaching me now. So I'm paying attention so that I can pass. Hallelujah. I have to follow the example of the apostles so that when I call on the name of Jesus, I have to surrender. I don't have to keep anything in me. So, Brother David, thank you for your answer. And I'll keep that in mind. Hallelujah. Oh, Brother David again. Oh, the Davids are in the house today. Brother David.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
If we want to follow the examples of the disciples or the apostles, we have to serve the Lord in truth and spirit. And by doing that, whatever we ask, we do. Thank you.
Hallelujah. See, I got another important answer from another Brother David. Hallelujah. We have to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. And if we serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, when we ask anything, the Lord will do it. So I'm comparing, I'm adding to what he said, that I have to surrender everything. I have to serve the Lord in spirit and in truth. I don't have to keep anything in me. Hallelujah. So the two Brother Davids, thank you. Now let me ask for more answers. I need more answers. Hello. Yes, Sister Belinda, Brother Israel, let hear your microphone so we can hear her, please. I can't hear you. Is that microphone on? Okay, speak loud.
You can do that when you come transparent before the Lord.
You know what? I hate the idea of people using big words. So interpret the word, bring it down to my level so I can understand. She said we have to be transparent. So I want to understand the word transparent.
You come open without not eating anything in your heart.
Okay. In other words, if I keep anything in my heart against somebody or I don't surrender fully to the Lord, then I can't serve the Lord in spirit and in truth, and I can't be effective. In other words, I have not fully surrendered to the Lord. Is that what you are saying? Hallelujah. Okay. Let me hear some more answers. Hallelujah. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Sometimes it's easy for me to go take Advil instead of praying on a stomach ache or an illness. So if I actually ask the Lord, this will take the easy way out.
That's what you will do. Okay, she said maybe she has a stomach ache. And instead of praying for the stomach ache to go, she takes Advil. So when she takes Advil, which means she believes more in Advil than calling on the name of God. Am I right? So that's the answer. So maybe we need to believe more in medicine than in the name of Jesus. We have to believe more in Jesus than in medicine. Hallelujah. Okay, I got your point. Okay, hallelujah. Yes. Okay, Brother David. Oh, wow, Brother David is in the house.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Another thing we should realize is that once we come to Christ, we don't have our will anymore. We don't have any choices. Your choice is gone. Christ is first in your life. Everything that you have to do, Christ should be first.
You have to be second, not first. And we try to put ourselves first before Christ. So that ego is always there in our lives. But if we can let that ego go and let Christ be first in everything that we do, it'll be great. Amen.
Amen. In other words, before I come to Christ, I have my own agenda. I do things my way. And I do what I like to do. And nobody can say anything. When I come to Christ, now it's not what I do anymore, but what Christ will do through me. And not the way I want to do it, but how Christ wants it to be done. Am I right? Are we getting somewhere? Church, are we getting somewhere? Okay, I think I have heard from the same people all the time. I need to hear from you people. I need to hear. Yes, my sister, hallelujah. Give her the microphone, please. This is what I'm talking about.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
I think that to move forward on this journey, you have to acknowledge God. I want you to acknowledge Him. When something good happens to you, sometimes we often forget to give praise to Him. He is the one that made this happen. When something good happens to you, acknowledge Him. Say, God, in your favor, this has happened. The more you do that, the more He will continue to bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Christians, we are slow in giving praises to God. That's a fact. That's a fact. So, my sister's answer is that when God does something for us, we should acknowledge Him and give Him the praise and adoration and the glory and not keep it to ourselves. The more we do it, the more we glorify God, the more miracle God does through us and for us. So we should always give praises and glory to God. Am I right? Hallelujah. Do you agree with her? Agree. I didn't say argue. I said, do you agree with her? Okay, all right. Okay, all right. Do I hear any more answers? Yes, my sister. Give her the microphone. You'll be my errand girl today, so make sure that you are today in the gym, walking around, smart. That's right. Hallelujah.
I feel that the reason why we don't see the sign behind the Lord, before we come to the Lord, we have to have that this way to act. And if we first have the doubt, I think we shouldn't even be alone. Because the doubt is what we make in the prayers before us. So if we can stop doubting, believing that what I'm going to say right now is going to be happening, then I think it's going to be.
Amen. Do you agree with her? Hallelujah. Doubt is one of the biggest obstacles in the way of Christian. And I will address that issue later. Because when we pray and we doubt, we might as well not pray at all. At all. So the question is, how do we become effective in Christ? Or how does Christ become effective in us? Let's go back again to the Bible. Jesus, on numerous occasions, said, anybody has anything to say before I move on? Okay. Jesus Christ, in numerous places, He said, I have come to do the will of my Father who sent me. Did He say that? 434 John, 530 John, 638 John, 434 John, 530 John, 638 John. Read, please. Yes, Marlon, you can read if you have it. Marlon, which one do you have? I want you to look at me with a smile. And when you make that face, you make me scared. I want to see that face with a smile. So, okay, so if you have any ready, let me know and I'll let you in, okay? Good. Yes. Hallelujah.
I can do nothing on my own.
Mm-hmm.
As I hear, I judge.
Okay.
And my judgment is just.
Mm-hmm.
But I seek to do not my own will,
mm-hmm.
but the will of him who sent me.
Hallelujah. I seek not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me.
Any more readings?
Okay.
John chapter 4,
38. 4:34.
Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me.
Hallelujah.
And to complete his word.
Okay. Amen. My will or my food is to do the will of him who sent me. So you see, in all of his answers, he's emphasizing on doing the will of his Father who sent him. Isn't it? Okay. Now, when we go to 2 Corinthians 3:17, it says, when any man is in Christ, what? Okay. Church, we are supposed to have the works or the words of the Lord Jesus Christ in abundance in us. This is one of the most common quotations. If any man be in Christ, is what? If any man be in Christ, is what? All things. Not all things are passed away. All things and all things. Hallelujah. Do we all agree on that? Okay. So now, we have always, when I ask you to stand up, I ask you to do that because of a reason. So we all agree that we are all in Christ, right? Before we became Christians, we were on our own doing our own stuff. We are, how do you say this thing? Captain of our ships and what? Masters of our own destiny, doing our own stuff. But when we come to Christ, it's a different story altogether. It's a whole new ball game. Right? Are we not following the example of Jesus Christ? Okay, listen. Jesus Christ came into this world with an agenda. And he didn't sway to the left or to the right. He stayed on target on course. He came to do exactly what God has planned for him to do. Am I right? Do we all agree on that? Okay. So when he stayed on course on that track, everything that he asked from God, God granted it. Right? Okay. So now here we are, new creatures in our Lord Jesus Christ, and we say that we have been called by the Lord and we have answered the call. We have become new creatures in the Lord. So if we have become new creatures in the Lord, we no longer have our own agenda in the world. Let's be clear with that. Let's understand that clearly. Once we surrender to Christ, we do not have our own will anymore. When a slave is sold on the slave market and is purchased by somebody, the slave owner becomes the master of the slave. The slave does not have his will or agenda anymore. It is for him to serve the will of his master. So now, when we come to Christ, we surrender everything to him. Full surrender. And most of the time, we surrender partial. Partial surrender is as well as no surrender. Get that clear. Partial surrender is the same as no surrender. If I like to drink, I like to boost, and I like to steal, and I go, I see a beautiful woman I want to marry. And the woman said, okay, because you steal and you drink, so hey, forget it. God, stop smoking and God, stop this. I will stop. I stop smoking. I stop drinking. But secretly, I continue to steal. Have I stopped what I said I was going to do? Why? Why? Talk to me. Why? Because I'm still doing it. So if I violate the law by stealing, isn't it the same as smoking and drinking? Isn't it the same? So is it a full stoppage of what I said I was going to do? Are we on the same page? So, if we come to Christ, we become new creatures. The old things have passed away, as we all just said. Really, have the old things passed away? Or are we still holding on to certain things that we are having pleasure in them? Hallelujah. I'll tell you one of the things that hurt Christians the most. Many Christians' character, we can't let go. We have short fuse, as Brother David said, we have ego. We can't forgive. There are many things. There are many things that when we come to Christ, we let many things go, but we still keep a few things that we love. Keep them. And so, we can be effective in Christ. The disciples, Christ knows of their weaknesses. He knows the weaknesses and the frailties of man. So, he said to them, when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you will have the power to do it. When they had the power, the Holy Spirit, the scripture said, they did everything in one accord. If anybody was going to have anything negative to say, it should be said against Peter, because he was a spokesperson of them and he was the one who denied Jesus 3 times. But did anybody mention that or hold that against Peter after they received the Holy Spirit? We work together. Way. For them to become effective in Christ, they had to bond together to let go of their old ways of doing things, their character, their habits, their egos, things that they love to do because of Christ's sake. Let go of all those things. And when they let go, as we said, Brother David mentioned, he said we have to serve God in spirit and in truth. We have to surrender food. When they pray together, things happen. When they pray together, things happen. And as we are all gathered here, Jesus has given us one big promise. Where 2 or 3 are gathered in my name, what? So if we are gathered 2 or 3 here and we pray, why shouldn't anything happen? Why shouldn't something happen? Hello? Divine healers, we have to rise to the next level. When we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, something has to happen. Something has to happen. When Jesus went to raise Jairus' daughter, he did something that he never did before. When he entered the room where the child had been laid in state, he looked at all the people around and he said, threw a whole bunch of people out. And he was left with a few people. Before he prayed and called the child back. Why? Those whose hearts were together, having no doubt and questioning nothing, looking at Jesus as the power and authority. When the Holy Spirit is moving, moves through me. And the Holy Spirit is going around. It should be able to go around through all of us without any break. If there's a break in the circuit, there will be no power. If I'm harboring something against Brother David, and we are praying, Brother David is sick, and we are praying for him to be well, and I have something in me against him, and everybody is praying, when the Holy Spirit is moving around, and it gets to me, because I have something in me against him, it will never work. The circuit will break in me. If it goes through, in it, at a circuit, that is where, when it plays, there is a spark. Boom. When there is a circuit in me, there is a break in me. Power can go through me. We will not be any spark. We have to be effective. We have to be together. We should always strive for the betterment. Let me say this. As believers in Christ Jesus, we have to learn how to do the will of God. As Jesus always said, I've come to do the will of my Father. Jesus never harbored anything negative against anything. Never. There is nothing in the Bible that speaks something negative about Jesus' character or behavior or habits. Nothing that I have read so far in the Bible. So me and you, for us to be effective, for Christ to be effective in us, that when we pray, this is called the divine. I tell you honestly, in the divine industry, things happen in church. People being ill. In those days, the people who are, I wouldn't even say demon possessed, but demon possessed person, all the demons, there was a time that somebody came, her tongue was that long. Stretch it. Tell you this. When the name of Jesus was called, was mentioned, something happened. And sometimes when we go to the beach to baptize them, we need to have strong people who pump iron and have muscles to hold some of the people that were baptized. Because once they hit the water, boom, if they are not strong, they will go. You think that power is gone? Power is still working. We have to surrender. We have to let everything. We have to understand the need that we are each of us. We are our brothers. We have to create everything hearts. Let the power of God, let you as Jesus to expect, we need will. Not our will anymore. Once we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we no longer have our own will agenda anymore. The agenda of Christ is the will of Christ. Hallelujah. And I want to say this. I'm looking at today, I think we need to rest of it, but I believe my brother will have something. As we follow the examples of those in the Bible, I would have put the Bible aside. In my own personal experience, I have seen the power of God working through people, and I've seen signs and wonders, but I will share one with you. My mom, I believe I shared this with you. My mom, she was a woman. When we were growing up, one time in the house, my grandpa was living at Labadi. We were at Abisota. Close to what? We saw our uncles coming from Labadi, and they said, "Where grandpa is lying, I don't think he will sleep." When we got there, grandpa was lying on the bed, not moving, his eyes open, not blinking, anybody, my dad calling, after we all prayed, he asked my mom to pray. Mom started praying. She started praying. She started praying in tongues. Tongue that she used. I know she has the gifts of tongue, but on that day in particular, that tongue, I never heard her speak that tongue before. So, well, we all kept quiet. After we prayed, grandpa was still lying there like that. And my dad said, so we hit the road back home. And my dad said to my mom, "I heard you pray. You pray something." When I was praying, I asked the Lord to extend his life by 2 minutes. He didn't ask him. He said, because the old man was already old, because he was 110 years. He said, "I asked for 2 years." So we went home. The following day, right about 5 o'clock, we saw those people coming again from Labada. We said, "Oh, grandpa is gone." But lo and behold, when they came, he said, "Oh, as soon as you left, grandpa started moving. And this morning he sat up, he drank soup. I think he's getting better." Hallelujah. That was the news they brought. And grandpa got better. Better. It's okay. Exactly 2 years. Not a minute after, not a minute late. We saw all those people still coming to the house again. And he said, "Oh, grandpa has made his decision." Hallelujah. And we remember the word that my mom said when we were coming from Labadi the first day that we went there in the car. When she said, "I asked for 2 years for him." Exactly 2 years, not a minute before, not a minute after. And he made his decision. God listened to the prayers of his people. That I tell you, I am an eyewitness. I was there. I saw it. I heard a prayer myself. It is not something that anybody told me. Eyewitness. I was there. Hallelujah. When we are that effective in the Lord, nothing, when we pray, nothing at all should prevent that prayer from being answered. It has to be answered. But we must be effective. We must open our hearts to the Lord. We must surrender. Not, I tell you, my mom, she does, if you do something wrong, she will tell you to the face. Boom, and that's it. It's gone. She doesn't keep anything. She doesn't. If we keep this in our heart, we will never be effective in the Lord. We can never do the will of God when we start keeping things in our heart. We have to let go. Listen, don't have any negative thought about anybody. Be open. Be open. Don't try to do things your way. Let open up. Learn to work with people. After all, we are a community. Let's learn to work with each other. Let's open up and let go of ways that we do things. Let's work together like the apostles did. And they all there with one accord, doing things together. When we do things together, we will be effective in the Lord. When we open up to the Lord, we open our heart and we don't keep anything in our heart, we will be effective. You see, the power is there for us. But if we don't know how to use the power, it's useless. We will have a form of godliness. We want the power to work in us. We want that power. And Sister Mercy, to address your issue. When you are going to pray and you have it in your mind, is this going to be done? Can it happen? Can that be done? Many people pray a prayer and they quote Jesus and they said, "Your will be done." You might as well not pray at all when you say your will be done. Understand that Jesus came with a mission. I want to explain that a little bit here. Jesus came into this world with a mission. And his mission was to fulfill the will of God. And to fulfill the will of God means to die on the cross. And when Jesus was on the earth, he has the nature of man and the nature of God in him. Two natures merge together. When he prayed that prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was the time that he has to go to the cross. And God cannot die. The God nature in him cannot die because he's God. So the God nature had to separate himself from his human nature so that the human nature will die to fulfill the promise of God. And when the human nature realized it, the burden, the weight, the agony, the pain that he was going to go through, it was the human nature that prayed that prayer. He said, if it is necessary, let this cup pass by me. He asked God, is there no other way that you can save mankind except for me to go through this pain? That was his human nature praying. But he caught himself and he said, not my will, but your will. Because he knew that that was the reason why he came from on heaven to earth to die this particular death. That he, through that death, will save all who believe in him. So he prayed that prayer and he said, not my will, but your will. If you ask yourself this question, do you think it's the will of God for you to suffer? When you pray, you are sick, you are going through pain, you don't have job. You don't know how even you can pay your rent. Debt are piling, bills and bills. And you pray and you say, God, if it's your will, let the bills pile up. Do you think it is the will of God for you to pile bills on you? So when you say, let your will be done, what are you saying to God? It is your will, so let me suffer. It is your will, so let me endure pain. It is your will, so let the bills pile up because that is your will. Whom do you think God is? Is he what shall I say, a wicked God? To let his children go through pain, agony, this and that and that and that? Or do you think that was part of his will for you to go through that pain or suffer? And you said, let your will be done. Excuse me? That what? Claim the promise. Claim the promise. Lord, you said if I call on you, something should happen. I'm calling on you. I need healing. Heal me now. Lord, I need job. You said you opened doors for me. Open the door. Lord, you said this, you have the power. You did this. I read it in the Bible. I've helped people whom you have helped in many situations. Me too. Do it for me. You pray and say, let your will be done. All right? Then you might as well not pray. Go through the pain. suffer. Because you think it's the will of God for you to suffer. You pray and ask the Lord to deliver you. And when you pray and you ask, you see, I want everybody to rise to that level. Rise to that level. If my mom can pray and the Lord will answer that prayer and my grandfather's eye can be extended for 2 years. Listen, one time, back home, I was a junior pastor and this lady came. Check. I need money for this. Who am I? I want you to pray for me. I believe you pray for me. Maybe the Lord will speak to me and ask me. I prayed for her. She said, how have you been forgotten about it? About 10 days later, early in the morning before I went to work, I was preparing to go to work and I saw this sister coming. I saw her smile. She said, oh, I'm coming to see you. I look at the time that the boss was coming to pick me up. She said, I was sleeping this morning. Hallelujah. God is good. See, when we open our hearts to the Lord, if we don't have what we need, we don't keep anything. When we ask the Lord for anything, we do. I know when we ask the Lord for anything, we do. More especially, we being believers in Him. The power is there. Power is there. So today, I want everybody to rise to that level. Don't keep any doubt in your mind. When you are praying, ask the Lord. Claim that promise. Claim it. It is yours. Claim it. Hallelujah. And let's open our hearts so that the Lord will work through us. Let's understand that we have to protect them. Coming to the close of this year, maybe this year is everyone. But before we get into 2014, let's keep focused and know that whatever we shall ask the Lord, He will do it. Hallelujah.